Hi, Chris Westfall here with another small edition of Senior Agent Podcast. Driving down the road with a couple of thoughts. It's been the craziest Medicare season of my entire life. This is now my ninth year focused on Medicare supplements, specifically my 20th or 21st year now being an agent. And some new agent struggles have been crossing my desk in the last couple of weeks, and I want to address them to try to stem the tide of other frustrated agents who are just getting into this space. And one of the most common things that I'm seeing is an agent will send me a support ticket through our website over at MedicareAgentTraining.com, where I do support agents about 18 to 20 hours every single day, replying back mostly in real time to answer their questions. But many times lately, the question has been something like this. I have a 5-foot-tall, 400-pound person diagnosed with prostate cancer last week. What company should I put them with? Or another one from this week, had a lady just diagnosed with breast cancer. Where can I put her for a Medicare supplement? I mean, come on, really? It's called an underwriting guide, and it's there for your edification and to not waste your time and the company's time. See, every time you submit an application to a company that's going to get rejected, it costs the company money. And, you know, our incentive is to not lose money, first of all, but also to make money in this industry. And you're wasting your time and your money when you could otherwise be helping somebody who could get approved. No, nobody that's, you know, 5 feet tall, 400 pounds, just got prostate cancer diagnosis is going to be approved. It's just not going to happen. And also cancer with somebody else, the diagnosis is not going to be approved if it just happened. Not with any company, not anywhere, not any time. It's just not going to happen. Those people are best served either on a Medicare Advantage plan or staying put if they already have coverage. If they're in open enrollment, that's great. There's no questions asked. And that's when they're turning 65 or they're brand new to Part B if they got it later after working on an employer-based plan. But people need to read the health questions on the companies. They can't just rely on me or anybody else to give them a quick diagnosis of which company is going to be the miracle worker, when in most all cases of these ridiculous things that I've been given, it's never going to happen based on what they're telling me. So the underwriting guide is something that you really need to put at your disposal for all the companies that you're contracted and licensed with. Put them in a folder that you can easily find them on your desktop, where you can pull them up and easily go through it. About to go through a car wash here, but it'll really save you lots of time. I've seen many agents over the last few weeks here in the middle of the open enrollment period for next year. They're submitting Medicare supplement applications with people who are going to be declined, no question about it. And then they say, well, you know, I just wanted to see what would happen. It's not a mystery. It's a black and white, if you had this, you're going to be declined. Now, where there's some leeway and some ambiguity with regard to different underwriting practices comes into play with things like diabetes. So different companies have different criteria when it comes to diabetics, and some are more lenient than others, and it's covered more specifically over at MedicareAgentTraining.com. But when you have somebody that's a test case, like they're diabetic and they have, you know, high blood pressure, you really have to read the underwriting guide from the insurance companies and don't rely on anybody else's opinion. You can even call the insurance company and get their specific criteria on the diabetics, but you should at least look in the underwriting guide first. That's your first go-to resource. And also, if you have somebody that's taking drugs like Oxycontin, oxycodone, you know, pain management, if they're getting injections at the doctor's office on a frequent basis for pain management, or anything that's an ongoing thing at the doctor's office like that, that they have to go to all the time, they're just not going to be approved. And so many times agents will feel like they're busy, they're accomplishing something merely because they're submitting an application. And just because you get somebody to say yes to an application because they want to save money does not mean it's going to be a good use of your time if you should have known at the very outset that they have no chance of being approved at the company that you're submitting it to. So just don't want agents to waste their time coming into this thinking that as long as somebody says yes, we're going to submit the application and just see what happens. If you read the health questions and they answer yes to any of those health questions, do not submit the application. That's what we call in law enforcement, back in our detective work, a clue. The clue is they don't qualify. So don't submit those applications. Now, there are some companies that are very friendly toward any drugs that the person's taking. Some companies don't even require you to list the drugs at all. And again, we cover that at MedicareAgentTraining.com. So you need to have those companies as a backup, if not a primary company, for those people that are going to be underwriting cases that are going to be a little bit more complex. But the mainstream major carriers like Mutual of Omaha, Aetna, Cigna, Equitable, and so forth, their guidelines are quite clear on what's going to be accepted and what's not. And it's our job as a licensed agent, otherwise known as a field underwriter, to make yourself aware of when somebody can and when somebody cannot be approved. Mike Brooks, in the top 20% study that he did of the top 20% phone salespeople, found that the top 20% know first and foremost when somebody is not a qualified lead. That's why they're in the top 20%, because they spend all of their time with people who they can help. See, it's the inexperienced and unprofessional agent who just goes out seeking a yes answer from everybody and then spends the rest of their 2 or 3 or 4 hours of that day filling out an application because somebody said yes. Our job is to first and foremost eliminate somebody who we can't help. First, when we're cold calling, find out if somebody's on a Medicare Advantage plan. If it's not during open enrollment and they have no inclination to leave that zero premium plan anyway, don't waste your time trying to convince that person. It's a waste of time. If you throw out the major question like, well, let me just see if you qualify to save money on your plan. In the last few years, have you had anything major? Any new diagnosis or heart attack, stroke, or cancer? Anything major like that? COPD, diabetes. If they say yes, you need to very quickly zero in on what that was and move on. It's not mean, it's not cruel to tell somebody, I'm sorry, but we just can't help you at this time. Have a great day, God bless you, bye-bye, and we just can't help. Spend your time on the folks that you can help. If you spend 3 and 4 hours on a case, mailing things back and forth, as some agents do to feel like they're accomplishing something and staying busy, and there's no end result at the end of that, you're seeing case after case after case that's declined, the problem's not with the insurance company, folks. The problem is with you and your screening process of who you're spending your time with. Now, let me just tell you, back in my old cold calling days, and I don't cold call anymore because I don't have to, but when I did cold call to start my business and start the referral flow, the people who are most anxious to talk to you, the people who want your help the most, are the people who are the sickest. Unfortunately, it's the truth. So when you get somebody who's really enthusiastic to talk, oh, thank God you called. Yes, yes, definitely you can help me. I'm so sick of paying the same premium for the last 5 or 6 years. You need to have your little spidey senses go up and wonder why it is that they're so anxious to get you to replace their plan. I'm just telling you based on experience here. The good ones are the ones that you fight hard for. The low-hanging fruit is often low-hanging fruit because they've tried it with other companies and they've been rejected. They won't tell you that right off the bat. As a matter of fact, Cigna, otherwise known as American Retirement Life Insurance Company or Loyal American, depending on which state you're in, Cigna put a very smart question on their application when they relaunched as a private brand that independent brokers can sell. And their question is, have you been rejected recently from another insurance policy, life insurance or Medicare supplement? See, it helps them out to understand if there's something going on here that a person's applying at multiple companies, it's probably one of those things I said before, a clue. Something is wrong there. So that may be one of the questions you want to ask too. Have you been rejected from any insurance company in the last few years? And the reason why they got rejected may be your reason why you're not going to spend a whole lot of time with that particular case. Now, all that being said, I've also run into plenty of cases where someone was trying to get a major brand, one of the big players, and for whatever reason, let's talk about diabetes with just oral medication, or COPD, or some drug that they're taking, and they were told by another agent that they just can't get approved. There's no way you're ever going to get a policy. Well, knowing what we know and with the experience and with the training at MedicareAgentTraining.com, you know that there are two carriers out there in the market that will insure those people, no questions asked. It's not a problem. So having some experience in the field is going to help, and that information can be found. It's readily available on my site and by studying the underwriting guides. but you need to know the capabilities of all the companies that are in the market in which you serve. Now, many agents also ask me, they'll say, well, I'm going to get licenses in 5 different states, and I'm going to market in 5 different states simultaneously. If you're doing, you know, pinprick marketing, and by that I mean you're like doing telemarketing or direct mail, you can't be in 6 places at once. Limit your focus to 1 geographical area so that you can become an expert or a quasi-expert or a mini-expert in 1 given area. You'll know who the players are. You'll know who the competition is. You can study the competition's underwriting. You can study what their rate trends have been doing, and you can best position your response to that. Further, you can become an expert on your top 2 or 3 carriers and on their underwriting for that given market. That's the way to do it. People want to talk to people who know what they're talking about. So become an expert in 1 local market. Pick the market carefully, pick the top few carriers in that market. And if you're a member of my site, I'm more than happy to help you. Give me a list of the people that you're seeing as your top carriers for your given market. Many times agents will say, well, who's the best in Pennsylvania? Or who's the best in Virginia? It all depends on where you're marketing. Because on certain sides of the state, 1 company's better. On other sides of the state, that company may have horrible rates. So I can't give you that blanket recommendation. You have to tell me where you're marketing based on a zip code, and I'll be happy to help you with looking at the companies that you found already in the quote engine and giving you the brief rundown. So pick a local market, pick 1 market at a time. Later you can expand. And then what happened with me is the reason I'm in 42 different states personally is just because of referrals. People saying, well, I've got a brother in Kentucky. Can you help him? Sure, I'll call the brother. Oh, these are the companies. I'm familiar with the companies. I can save you X number of dollars or whatever. And then you go get the license in that state. It doesn't take that long, and you get the appointment with the companies. There are 2 companies out there, big, big brand companies, that you can just go write the electronic application right now, and they'll appoint you after the fact. That is so easy. And I want to say a big shout out to those 2 companies who make the appointment process in non-resident states a very smooth behind-the-scenes transition so that we can get that business into them and not have to say, well, you're going to have to fill out some forms. We have to wait about a week. We have to wait for all this to happen. That shouldn't be the case. And it's not the case in with 2 of the companies that are out there. So anyway, the whole point of this thing is know the health questions. They're available on my site under Medicare. It's under training, Medicare supplements, and then underwriting. And you can see the health questions for all the different companies. Now, certain states mandate different underwriting. Like in most states, the application will say, at any time in your life, have you ever been treated for things like, you know, chronic kidney disease with dialysis? What's the other one? Like HIV or AIDS. If you've ever been diagnosed with those things, they're never going away. Congestive heart failure, that kind of thing. But again, in other states, they don't go back more than 5 years because of a state law. So say, have you ever been treated for these? Or it won't say ever. Have you been treated in the last 5 years for these particular things? So you need to know the underwriting guides for your particular states, and they're very easy to gather. You need to become intimately aware with the companies that you're partnering with to offer them. And so many agents treat this as a very superficial, I'm going to try it as a hobby. I'm just going to stick my toe in it and see if it works. I'm just going to write the application and I'll fumble through it at the last minute by watching the webinar that makes it easy to explain the e-app with no focus whatsoever on the health questions until they're knee deep in a screen share with the person after a 2-hour conversation trying to convince them that you're a good person. That's ridiculous. First thing you should do is screen. Try to eliminate them out of your funnel as quickly as possible. And only experience can teach you that. When you want to stop wasting your time submitting applications and spending all day or half a day or a fourth of the day on an unqualified candidate, at some point you get the hint that that's not the good way to do business. The best way to do business is eliminate the 9 so you can spend all your time with the qualified 10th person. I know it makes you feel good to write an application. I know that feeling. And it feels anxious as you're waiting for that application to go through. And it feels like crap when they get declined. Because not only did you get your hopes up, you got the client's hopes up. And there's nothing that you can do about it once they get declined with that particular company. Don't waste the time. Try to screen them as best you can based on the underwriting questions. If there's a question about it and you don't understand the black and white part of it, do a Google search to find out what it is that they're telling you. Like, for instance, Aetna application asks in question, I think it's 18, in the last 12 months, have you had any surgery for heart artery blockage, okay? And many people will go, well, no, they don't have any surgery for heart artery blockage, but they just had a stent put in 6 months ago. You need to know what that means. A stent is for an artery blockage. So the stent relieves the blockage. That's what that is. You need to know a little bit about that. And then we're going to do a webinar coming up on MedicareAgentTraining.com on how to pronounce the certain conditions that you're going to see as frequently asked questions in the senior space. Certain things you're going to see on the underwriting guides, and if you sound like an idiot when you're saying those things, if you sound like you have no idea what you're talking about when you're listing off these medical conditions, that's not going to make you look good. You know, last month in October 2015, I wrote 6 different doctors, and the doctors were helping me on the terminology on some of the things that I've been saying for years. And to them, I sound like an idiot because I don't know those things. So when they corrected me on those things, I made sure to know that's how I'm going to ask those questions each and every time. It's not a big deal, but we need to become a professional in our craft. And the same thing is true when somebody tells you they're taking lisinopril or metoprolol or losartan, right? Or simvastatin. You need to know how to pronounce those things because they won't. And when you do, it makes you positioned as an expert. And as I talk about on the training site, every little thing that you do is a subtle reminder that you are either an expert or an idiot. And you need to build up the trust and credibility with the little things that you say. So in a screening process with somebody, if you ask them if they've had any major conditions, heart attack, stroke, cancer, COPD, diabetes, by the way, one of the things that they do as a screening process is they ask what drugs you're taking to see if they're contrary to those health questions that we just talked about. They're also looking for pain management drugs like OxyContin and those kind of things. What kind of drugs are you taking right now so that we can just make sure they're not on the naughty list? And many companies, they do provide you in the underwriting guide a list of uninsurable drugs. And many of them are dual-use drugs. They're treating congestive heart failure, but at the same time, they could also be treating, or instead be treating, high blood pressure, known as hypertension. So you need to have that drug list handy too, and go over the drugs before you make it to that application. Certainly, if you're going to do a screen share, go over the drugs before you get to the screen share and all that technical part. Anyway, if you're going to go through the drugs with somebody, and they're going to tell you, well, I'm taking you're taking lisinopril. Well, yeah, that's it. I'm taking Atorva. Oh, you're taking atorvastatin calcium. That's the generic version of Lipitor. And knowing those things, because you see them all the time, makes you an expert. And those little things build trust and credibility all the way through. If you establish that by asking good questions at the beginning of your process, you will be positioned as the expert way before you get to the end of the application, when you need their banking information, in the front of the application, when you need their social security number. All that needs to be settled. Case law needs to be settled in their head that you are the expert. And part of doing that is becoming an expert in your craft, being a professional, studying the drugs that are most commonly used by seniors, like we're going to cover on MedicareAgentTraining.com. Well, I've ranted long enough, and I'm at the office now. Y'all have a wonderful day, and I hope you are enjoying a wonderful season as a Medicare agent too. The little hint is that we write business all year long, not just during Medicare's open enrollment period. Huh. Yeah, 365 days a year, we are serving our clients, and if they want to change their plan, they can change their Medicare supplement all year long. Most people don't know that, and they're very pleasantly surprised when we let them know that we can help them either when they're turning 65, leaving an employer plan, or just paying too much on their plan, and we provide them an alternative. So come over and see us at MedicareAgentTraining.com. I'm Chris Westfall. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Senior Agent Podcast. For more information and other episodes, visit SeniorAgentPodcast.com.